Okay, so this is a meditation hypnosis around essentially acceptance. So what I'd like you to do is just take a few breaths, breathing in nice and deep and slow, in through the nose, if that's comfortable for you, or in through the mouth, and then breathing all the way out, just letting that breath go all the way out. And with every inhalation, just allow your breath to slow down. Really enjoy the sense of fullness you feel in your chest as you breathe in. And then with every exhalation, really release. Let that breath all the way out. And with every exhalation, just allow your whole body to relax. Allow your shoulders to drop, your jaw to release, your tummy to relax, just letting your whole body, exhalation after exhalation, relax more and more. Breathing rhythmically, easily in, and letting that breath all the way out. Nice, long, slow exhalation all the way to 11 if that's comfortable for you. Inhaling nice and slow into 7 or whatever is comfortable for you. Just allowing your mind to settle into the moment of the breath, focusing on the breath. Leaving the events of the day behind and the rest of the day, leaving those out of mind. Doing as best you can to get into this moment, having your mind focus on the breath, the wonderful growing sensations of relaxation, and just letting go of the rest of the day. And if ever your mind wanders, and it may, just bring it back to focusing on your breath. Focusing on your breath, breathing nice and slow into 7. Enjoying that wonderful sense of fullness you feel in your chest. And exhaling out all the way to 11. Enjoying the wonderful sense of relief you feel as you let that breath go. Letting your shoulders drop down. Letting your jaw separate and relax. The cheeks to relax. The muscles around the eyes to soften, to smooth out and relax. The little muscles at the corners of the eyes smoothing out. The little muscles at the corners of the mouth smoothing out and relaxing. The forehead. All those muscles smoothing out and relaxing. And you may feel a wonderful sense of heaviness in the face, in the shoulders. Whatever you feel is okay. Just allow yourself to enjoy every exhalation as you let that breath all the way out, just letting go and relaxing. And on your next exhalation, really enjoying the sense of release as you let the breath go. That wonderful feeling of just relaxing, slumping down into your chair, just relaxing and letting go. And on your next exhalation, really focus as you exhale on the tummy, relaxing and letting go. Softening, smoothing out, just slumping down into the chair. Good. And on your next exhalation, allow your arms and hands to relax, softening the muscles in the hands. And then focusing on the relaxation in the legs and in the feet, softening the muscles in the feet, the toes. Good. And then for your next few breaths, just focus on the sternum and your breath. And as you breathe in, just focus on the movement of the sternum. And then as you exhale, just let it go. Let that become the center of your thoughts for the next few breaths. Just allowing yourself to relax more and more as you focus so gently on the sternum. Just enjoying the ebb and flow as you breathe in and breathe out. Focusing gently, easily, without strain or force. Just enjoying the ebb and flow of the chest as you breathe in and out. Good. And when you're ready, just bring to mind some image. An image of you, an image of you in the group, an image of the group, an image of what you think symbolizes you and this group as you see it today. Whatever comes to mind, it doesn't have to be strictly related to the people, to the faces. What is the image that comes to mind when you think about you and this group? And just allow your mind to bring that image forward. Whatever the mind comes up with, just let that image percolate. Take up space. Take form without trying to perfect it or need it to be a certain way. Just notice what image or perhaps a symbol represents you as you experience the memories of this group today. Just allow your mind to percolate and bring forth whatever it comes up with. See that image in color. See that image in size, in depth. In movement or stillness. See as many qualities of that image as you can, as if you're looking at it from every perspective, moving around it 360 degrees in all directions. See the image, even if it brings up negative emotion, resistance, whatever it might be. Just allow yourself to see the image. Now connect with what you're feeling in your body. What is the feeling you have in your body when you look at this image? What is the emotion and where do you feel it? What is the nature of the somatic experience in the body? Is it a heaviness in the chest, a tightening, a dizzying feeling inside? A restricted feeling, a jumpy feeling? Where is it? What is it? What are you feeling? What are the many things you're feeling? But what's the strongest emotion as well? And where do you feel it the strongest? Connect with that experience. Connect that experience in your body, the emotional experience, with the image. See it all together. As difficult as it may be, as overwhelming as it may be, see those emotions, whatever they may be. Anxiousness, regret, shame, self-loathing, inadequacy. See those emotions in words beside the image. Connect the feeling in your body with each of those emotions. And as you look at those emotions and you look at those images, there's likely thoughts occurring to you or associated with them. See those thoughts floating across the image from left to right. I should have done this. I wish this had happened. Whatever the thoughts might be, just see them one after another floating by and notice the experience in your body as you notice those thoughts. Now stepping back a bit, notice the bigger emotions, the bigger beliefs. Bigger beliefs such as I am insignificant, I am flawed, I'm not good enough, I overinvest. I have a deep sense of longing for closeness, acceptance. Whatever those bigger beliefs may be, step back and notice them. Now notice too how some of those beliefs, maybe all of those beliefs, even though they seem in ways connected to this image, to this experience, are somehow also separate. Notice how they're also separate, living outside of this experience. When you notice these bigger beliefs, take a moment to also notice the basic humanness of those beliefs. How are they a shared human experience? We all have egos. We all have a strong sense and desire for belonging. We all have needs, feelings. We all feel rejection. Notice those beliefs, and notice too how in so many ways they're part of the shared human experience. We're social beings. There's nothing that hurts more than perceived rejection. There's nothing that rattles our cage more than a sense of not belonging, a sense of longing, a sense of feeling inadequate compared to others. This is a function of the strength of the social animal. So connect with the basic humanness of these beliefs, noticing how maybe you're not so different than anyone else. When you look at this image, when you look at those feeling words beside the image, the experience in your body, and those beliefs, and you step back from the whole picture, is it possible that you, in your long quest, in your longing to feel a part of something, separate, distinct from your family, to feel accepted, all very human, basic experiences, is it possible that the over-controller stepped in? Is it possible that the over-controller, trying to make things a certain way, hold on tight, ensure things happen, control the outcome, actually got in your way. We all need a sense of control, a sense if we do X, Y will happen. If we don't do X, Y will happen. We all want a sense of control. But is it possible, and to what degree maybe, the over-controller got in the way? That the strong sense of longing got in the way of you just being you, of being genuine, flawed like the rest of us, imperfect like the rest of us, free and easy, carefree, genuine you. The over-controller tightened around the real you. The over-controller suffocated, in a sense, the real you. The over-controller made you second-guess, hold back, refrain, restrain, so much so that you had difficulty being you. And that had you been you, the genuine you, warts and all like the rest of us, there's a possibility, no guarantee, a possibility, regardless of the outcome, that you would have felt better about the experience of meeting this group, belonging to it, and possibly separating. But you would have felt better about the experience, getting to know this group of people, determining if your values, interests were aligned, your level of acceptance was aligned, your level of flexibility, tolerance was aligned. All of the things that it takes to grow in attachment, the experience may have been more enjoyable. And if you did choose to leave, having been your genuine self, may have felt like an easier transition, an easier change. Maybe you wouldn't have skipped a beat. The over-controller makes us try too hard. The over-controller makes us think too much. Makes us read into every little thing. Makes us personalize, mind read, obsess, and worry. Instead of just being in the moment, those times with Jessica, Megan, and Melissa, instead of just being there free, accepting of yourself and Theo, things feeling fluid and easy, discovering divergence or convergence of values, beliefs, wants, needs, a convergence or a divergence around judgment, acceptance, compassion, tolerance, flexibility. All these things being discovered along the way. At the end of the day, you may have discovered they weren't for you, or perhaps they were, but you would have felt more free to make this decision. The over-controller causes suffering, suffocation. It limits us. Causes exhaustion, anxiety, obsession, worry. The over-controller is addicted to doing, being a certain way, saying a certain thing, not doing, constantly sculpting, adapting, reinventing oneself. Whereas being is the exact opposite. Being flexible, just letting the chips fall where they may. Exhaustion, worry, obsession are byproducts of the over-controller. It dampens our creativity. It dampens our spontaneity. The over-controller also causes more judgment of self and others. And again, sometimes control is a necessary part of our life. It's part of who we are as humans. It's part of how we learn through association. But it's the over-controller trying to manipulate, manage, present in a certain way. The over-controller is driven by fear. So in these interactions with Jessica, Megan, and Melissa, can you identify in your mind, as quietly to yourself, times where the over-controller was activated, was in action, where things were forced, manipulated, coerced, where you felt dampened, refrained, half of the potential you, constrained, repressed? Can you recognize times where the over-controller was in action? Can you see how it may have affected your ability to connect, to attach, may have impaired their ability to really get to know you and for you to get to know them? The over-controller was admiring, perhaps, putting them on a pedestal, where in fact the real you is a good teacher, is a good sharer. You've learned a lot over your experiences growing up. You can bring new perspectives, new beliefs, new values that help to challenge and broaden the sometimes narrow or restricted or repetitive views of others. Can you see how the over-controller dampened you, constrained you, limited you from being you, and perhaps you attaching to them and them getting to know the real you and thus attaching to you? There may have been times where the over-controller made you think you had to know so much about things. You had to be an expert in a certain area. You had to have a specialization. You had to demonstrate, perform, impress. What the over-controller forgets is there's always differences. There's always differences in things we can't control. We can't control other people. We can't control their reactions to us. We can't change or control their beliefs, their needs, their values. We control none of that. But the over-controller makes us think we need to melt, adapt, be a chameleon, and in the process we lose a part of ourselves. Did the over-controller suffocate you? Controlling develops through conditioning. The more we do it, the more we get conditioned to this response. But with awareness, anything can change. Awareness and experimenting with new ways, different ways of being, interacting. So we can forgive ourselves for trying too hard. We can forgive ourselves for longing and wanting connection. Those are all basic human experiences. We can forgive ourselves for wanting to be a part of a group, a bigger thing. We can forgive ourselves for trying. Acceptance of what it was, where it was. Acceptance of the mismatch as well between yourself and some of them. Acceptance of that difference and not being necessarily bad, just different. Awareness of the over-controller in situations such as these. And you'll know it because you'll be judging yourself. I should know this. I shouldn't have said that. I should say this. I should do that. I should be this. I should be that. Awareness of the over-controller is the first step in changing. Bringing compassion to the experience as it existed is important to let it go. Compassion and acceptance, very important. We can forgive ourselves for wanting to belong. We can forgive ourselves for trying to be something we weren't. Wanting it so much, we forgot who we were and what we could bring to the table. Our gifts, our uniqueness, our perspective on the world, on people, on parenting, on children. Anytime we want things to be a certain way and we're working too hard to make it happen, the over-controller is at play. The over-controller is in action. If, in contrast, we go into a situation, be ourselves, laugh at the things that are humorous to us, ask the questions that are interesting to us. Challenge when appropriate for us. Question, analyze, suggest. Whatever naturally comes to mind without force or need or dictate. When we're being ourselves, over time, we'll eventually find the group, the people, where we truly feel a sense of belonging, truly feel that acceptance for who we are, not a version of ourselves, for who we truly are and the gifts we bring. We're all unique and we all bring different gifts. We need to allow ourselves to show the world our gifts, even when it directly contrasts or conflicts with someone else's worldview. Politely and respectfully disagreeing, but owning up who we are, being true to ourselves. Whenever it feels tight and forced, constrained, repressed, suffocated, whenever there's worry and obsession of a heightened level, the over-controller's in action. So taking a moment, when you think back on these experiences with Jessica, Megan, and Melissa, bring some compassion to your experience as it is, not as you would want it to have been, but as it is, in its truth, in its honesty, regardless of the compulsion to avoid looking at it, to resist. Look at it with truth and honesty. Bring compassion to anything you may have regret about, anything you'd want to do differently in the future. And any time there is regret, any events where there are regret, truly be honest with why it is you did or didn't do what you did. Be honest with yourself. Maybe it was motivated by fear, self-doubt. Regret, for example, you mentioned about not communicating verbally. When you think about that moment, truly be honest. If that was important to you, what kept you from doing it? Was it fear? Was it self-doubt? The more common fear is indifference, being faced with indifference in others. Because, as I mentioned before, we're social animals. Connection, belonging, is critically important. Indifference hurts. Indifference is painful. That is a common fear we all face when we're addressing issues with people. Maybe they won't care. Maybe I don't matter to them. And if that is the case, we have to look at, is that a reasonable response? Is that a reasonable way of living and treating others? So if any situations are filled with regret, be honest with the emotion that drove you to do or not do certain things, and then bring compassion, paying attention to the human experience. And if you were filled with fear of something, how reasonable was that? What would you do differently next time? And again, that's not what you would do. That's not what you did wrong. But it's rather specifically next time, what am I going to do different? When you think about who you truly are at its core, what are some of the values you hold dear? I'd say through your experiences, might be fair to say you're fairly accepting and tolerant, open to a wide variety of people and experiences. You like to challenge yourself and grow, and therefore want to be surrounded by others who are willing to be open, accepting, tolerant, grow and challenge themselves. Would you say these qualities defined the people in this group? Open, accepting, challenging, courageous, tolerant, flexible. And maybe those aren't the qualities you define yourself most by, but take a moment to think about what they are, and if this group or individuals within the group aligned with those most important values. So when you think now and in the future, if the events, interactions, experiences in this group come to mind, take a moment to think about in one sentence, what it meant to you, what you're grateful for, what's your understanding of that experience? So what's your overall experience? When it comes to mind, what's one sentence that sort of summarizes, gives permission for the experience as it was, embodies your understanding of it as for you, as a unique individual, but allows you to also let it go. So there's a lot of things in one sentence, so take some time. When you think about the reasons you're glad for that experience as a woman, as a friend, as a mom, as a parent in general, interpersonally, intellectually, what are the things you're grateful for? You as a person, that you are able to do, challenge yourself as a person, as a woman, as a mom, as a friend, as a parent in general. What are the things you're grateful for from that experience? And lastly, is there anything else to be gleaned from this experience? Or can you simply pack it away in a box and let it go? You enjoyed time with them. That chapter is closed. Can you let it go? Can you move past it? Can you let it go? Is there anything else to glean from this experience that you want to take with you before you let it go? You're simply parents now in the same school who spent a bit of time together and have gone their ways. Nothing more needs to be said. Nothing more needs to be done. You don't need to carry any pain or resentment. You tried it and it didn't work. It wasn't for you at this time in this way. It wasn't serving you for what you needed. So now your parents coexisting in the same school, in the same community, in the same part of Calgary, but there's many other parents, many other women, many other kids. And you can let them just blend into the background, the fabric of the school. And make a point of trying to notice other people, focusing on other people. Enjoying the good that you had from the group, letting go of the bat. See all the rest of the people in the school. See all the rest of the faces, the cars, the kids. See all the rest of the people in the community. They're only a very small part, very, very small part. And you can let it go. Feel yourself, see yourself, closing that chapter, letting it go, blowing it away, packing it up, releasing it in some form or another. Take a deep breath and blow it out. Just release it. let it go. Unburden yourself. Nice, long, slow, deep breath. Release it, unburden yourself, and let it go. As we go through life, we'll encounter many, many people and groups. Some will be aligned and fit with our needs at that time, and others won't, and we'll pass by like ships passing in the night. We stop for a while, we try it, and we keep moving. This will happen many, many times, and eventually, with persistence, you'll find the group where your needs, values, beliefs, wants align in that moment with theirs, or an individual, whatever it may be. So when you're ready, you can open your eyes and return to the room around you.